This is a replay of the Tuesday night, July 22nd WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. Some sad news. In fact, just as I was looking over some of what had been released on Malcolm Jamal Warner's death, came in that Ozzy Osbourne died today. And not that that was totally unexpected, but still sad. And we'll talk about both of them and more. And it was Linda in Richardson Park who said she wanted to hear the theme song from The Cosby Show. Well, this presents a little problem. There were 8 seasons and 7 theme songs. So you will hear 7 bumpers. Seasons 6 and 7 have the same theme song. You'll hear 7 bumpers with all of them tonight as we remember Malcolm Jamal. And very, very sad. And yeah, we'll talk more about Rip Currents because, you know, I sort of grew up on the ocean, and I literally thought that no one learned how to swim, that you knew this innately. You know, I kid you not, that's how stupid I was. Turns out, no, it's not a thing human beings know innately. But you also think there's just, if you're going to be out in the ocean, there's certain things you just understand innately, but you don't. And apparently rip currents are one of them. It's about as scary as it gets, and for no reason whatsoever. So we will go over what to do in case you are going to the beach and you manage to get caught up in a rip current. And you might. Sadly, this did not have to happen. Now, I recognize on a spiritual level, oh, maybe it did. You know, maybe that's exactly how it works and we all are here for a finite period of time, which we know, of course, but I mean a prescribed finite period of time. I don't know. But what I do know is it's very sad and very, very frustrating, especially when somebody's cut down in their prime, which he was. All right, so 888-876-5593. That is going to take us to Dennis. Dennis is on the road. Usually he is flying, but I believe he is drying. So are you on terra firma?
I am on terra firma this time. You know, I've had some time off, so I have been taking the pleasure of, well, I find the interstates fairly boring.
Well, yeah.
I know you've driven many of them, and I went 80 back and forth, but I just started to take some of the side roads and really enjoying it, except for the traffic you run into in some of the smaller towns these days, and that's a little frustrating, but it's beautiful country.
Yeah,
you gotta pay a little more attention.
And the speed traps. You probably already are aware of that, but small towns are notorious for most of their income being the unsuspecting passing by drivers. Yes, the speed traps are absolutely out there.
Six-lane highways with 30-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Yes, exactly right. So. Yes, that's 100%. You know, the interstates, I agree with you wholeheartedly, the interstates I drove over 50 years ago, they're not the interstates that are there now. One thing, I don't know what this advent of trees is about, because originally, you know, interstates were basically nice, wide, divided four-lane highways with limited access. That was it. Two lanes in one direction, two lanes in the other, big, wide lanes. And you could see for miles. You know, if you're in the south, you're looking over there and say, oh, I see a Stuckey's over yonder about 6 miles that way. Now all you see is trees. What is that about?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just the time.
Yeah.
And they don't want to cut them down.
Did they grow on their own by the side of the interstates? I mean, somebody had to plant these.
Yeah. I can't answer that.
Right. And that's
really
why
that.
At least you're driving in the west where you have some shot in the desert of no trees.
Yep. And you get some nice vista. Of course, I have gone through the Rocky Mountains. I went over great big pass today, 10,000-11,000 feet. And of course, that's just stunningly beautiful, and then you get some nice vistas and the occasional rainstorm,
right?
And small little mining towns, and those are fun. So
was it Argentine Pass?
No.
Black Bear?
No.
Cottonwood?
No.
Mosquito? I'm gonna run out of passes that I know. Blue Lake.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that many. So
something. I'll come up with it as soon as when I'm not thinking about it.
Yeah. Now it could be Arapaho Pass, but then you might not live to go on. It's a pretty primitive road. But yeah.
Yeah.
There are a lot of them. Well, I'll be curious.
There are a lot of them. I went over several.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the name of the biggest one, but. You mentioned Ozzy Osbourne's passing, and
yes.
Of course that's sad. I worked with Ozzy about 10 years ago, quite a bit. Very nice man, very easygoing, loved his fans. I would not want to have worked with him in the 1970s.
Or 68, yeah, when he founded Black Sabbath, yeah.
Exactly. But, I'm surprised he lived this long, because 10, 15 years ago, he was having his challenges.
Oh, yeah.
But one thing I always did respect him for, you know, we would land at an airport, and of course there's a big limo sitting there, and there's chain link fences so people can't get near airplanes, and words always gets around, that he's coming to town. So you see these kids hanging on by the chain link fence just to get a glance, and he would always step off the airplane, walk right past the car, and go up and spend time with those people that are waiting at the vents. He'd sign things, talk to them, shake their hands. And I always thought that was kind of big of him.
It is. That is really nice. And yeah, it is amazing. If you only knew him from Black Sabbath and eating bats and all that kind of stuff, you don't think about him being a human being. But I too had heard heard really good things about him as far as that goes. But he's been sick for a while.
Yeah, and thankfully he had Sharon. Sharon ran the show.
Yes, yes.
So, that was a good thing. It was the best thing that happened to him. I don't think he would have lived this long without her.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. And I remember he once was quoted as saying that he was attracted to her, but he assumed that she thought he was a lunatic.
Yeah. You mentioned something, I think, in yesterday's show, and I was listening to the replay today, and did I hear you mention a personality type INFP?
Yeah.
Okay, because myself and several friends took quite a battery of tests, probably 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And two of us ended up as INFP.
Interesting.
And we were sitting there regaling ourselves on probably the better qualities of INFP. But the one you mentioned is certainly not on the list.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had never done this, and I had promised Naoto that I would take the test. So I did. I took the entire test, and I am an ENTJ.
Okay. I have to look that up.
Yeah, apparently it's the rarest or something, you know, not...
But that does not surprise me.
INFJs are the next rarest, so I guess we have something in common.
Okay. I don't know how common INFP is, but of about 12 of us that took, only two of us came up with that classification. Then I don't know how accurate they are. You know, they're kind of subjective.
Well, what I wonder is if you took the test every year under different conditions, you know, depending on the mood you were
would it be different types
all the time?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Of course.
So,
I don't either.
Yeah, it'd be curious.
You,
what?
It's early in the show. Probably yes. Have a lot of people waiting.
No, I don't. Absolutely, I don't. I'm talking to myself. Worry not.
Oh, okay. Are we in the news again? No.
Okay. That'll be about 10 minutes. I got to play commercials before the news, but I'll get to that. So, what's up?
Okay. I've talked to you before about this radio station in Golden, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's KCCL, I believe it's the call sign. And they put up a little stick right outside my community, which has about 2,500 homes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's great. Here's a little demo that's going to love having a powerful radio station. It's 1 kilowatt, right outside their boundaries. And they never did anything with that demo. Nobody recognized that there's 2,000 people living around that tower because it's up in the hill. It's in rocky area. The signal's not going to go very far. So they tried sports, and, of course, that flattened. And then they tried head radio, where it was all about pot, and that fizzled.
God, I can't imagine why.
Yeah, I know. And then all of a sudden, the tower is gone, the site's cleaned up, the gate's gone, but they have a translator.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked on the latest records I have, which is probably a little less current than what you have, and there they are with an STA for that same tower in that same location, which has been gone for 3 years, with a translator on a certain frequency. The translator's always been on the air. The translator was listed for AC format.
Okay.
And it plays 100% Mexican.
What's it translating?
It's supposedly translating this KCCL, I think it's KCCL, 1550 in
mm-hmm.
Golden.
Mm-hmm.
But it hasn't been there for 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm. But it's been on the air as a primary station, I take it, without anybody noticing.
Well, the translator has.
That's what I mean.
No,
that's what I mean. Yeah, yeah. All right.
How do they get away with that?
Oh, you know, I can't tell you how many translators are operating illegally, and it really is like whack-a-mole. For the most part, most of them aren't caught, and often when a competitor will turn them in, they don't have really much standing. It's if a listener
yeah, they don't
would,
have standing. They don't get determined.
Right.
You know, all it would take somebody like me or somebody,
yes.
a listener.
Yes, a listener
says,
would
I
do
used
it.
I used to listen to 1550, and it's not there anymore. What happened?
Right, exactly. And yeah, K245CM, which is what you're talking about, the 96.9, is the translator. And it's still listed as translating KKCL, but you're saying that 1550 is not on the air anymore.
It hasn't been on the air in 2 years.
Yeah, well, and they're still listed as... Now, what are they translating, or are they just originating?
I've got to believe they're originating. I don't know what they're translating.
Well,
it's all Mexican. It's supposed to be adult contemporary, according to the latest.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean, the FCC won't hold you to the format, but they certainly will
right.
hold you to what you're translating. Now, understand that 96.9 is not enviable. It's got under 100 watts, and it's directional. So, you know, the height above ground level is like 89 feet. So
but it must be pretty high because I get it really strong where I live.
Yeah, but that's where you live. But I mean, it is not anything where yeah. anybody would be, saying, "Oh my God,
it's
what a great
deal."
No, it's
yeah,
absolutely.
So it's not sitting on top of,
Well, you know, I mean, it's up there on Lookout Mountain near the Buffalo Bill Museum and Grave.
Yeah, that's a pretty high spot. You
yeah.
don't take much power to get
yeah,
out of there.
Right. Well, exactly. So, but 73 directional watts. I don't know who owns them, but I would say if it's eating at you that they're originating programming, which they shouldn't be, then by all means, you can turn them in.
Yeah. Well, we'd like to have a nice little radio station there in our community, but it was there for about.
Well,
I don't know, 6 months, and then it's gone.
Well, of course, if it's a translator, it's a secondary service, not a radio station, so it would all be dependent upon that 1550 and what they were doing. But what you're saying is they're not doing anything because they're not broadcasting.
Not
so they used to be known as the cloud. Apparently, they are now in the cloud.
Yes.
And they, you know, at night, they were like directional with 350 watts or something crazy. And it was a two-tower array, but I think during the day they had close to 1,000 watts, it's your basic 1550. That's interesting, and I wish I could tell you that this was an anomaly, that I don't know of other cases, but unfortunately, a good friend of mine, David Stewart, sadly, who passed away a couple of years ago now, but we used to spend hours on the phone at night talking about all the translators we knew that were operating illegally, and we never ran out of things to talk about.
Yeah, I guess so. Now, I had some dealings with a local FCC inspector on a very illegal station who was spraying trash all over the HF spectrum, not shutting down to nighttime power. This went on for months, and even though we had standing, because we were operating on frequencies where we were licensed that we were hearing them on, it still took 6 months for anything to happen.
But eventually it did, right?
Eventually it did, but I don't think that she had anything to do with it. I think they went off the air for a while, went silent, and I thought, oh, great, they've shut down. Then they came back on, and when they came back on, they are reducing their power at night, and they're diplexing with somebody else. So evidently somebody with some know-how has got that thing fixed, but it... don't expect a lot of action from the FCC.
No, unfortunately, that is true. But on the other hand, you get on their radar for some reason, and life is over as you know it. You know,
Put up a pirate, and you're there in 2 days.
Well, exactly, and rightfully so. But yes, absolutely, they'll not only go after the pirate, but they'll go after the landlord who the pirate's renting from.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Well, good stuff. A wonderful drive. So, where are you as we speak?
I am not too far from,
you don't know.
Barstow, San Bernardino. Where am I?
So kind of where 40 and 15 come together.
Well, let me look at the stupid map.
Oh, God.
I just got here.
Good old Barstow. Used to be the world's largest McDonald's.
Yep. Oh, really?
Yeah. In fact, there was
Gallup.
Oh, you're in Gallup, New Mexico. You're nowhere near Barstow. But you are on I-40. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I was just reciting the lyrics to the song.
Oh, well, if you're on Gallup, you're on I-40. You're about to cross into Arizona. You're near Four Corners.
Yeah. I passed Four Corners already.
Okay.
And don't forget Winona.
Or Kingman, Arizona. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Wouldn't dream of it. All right, well, have a wonderful trip.
I love Kingman. Yeah. Okay, are you in Globe now these days?
We're in Globe until we get out of that rental property. We have the world's most expensive climate-controlled storage we've got to get out of. So, yes, we are here packing on a regular basis. So if you're in Arizona, stop by. We're here.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Hello to all the INFPs out there.
Yes.
I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks.
All right,
appreciate
Raleigh.
It.
Thanks.
All right. So good deal. Yes, absolutely. Come by and don't expect air conditioning because we still don't have it in the in that house we're trying to get out of. The world's most expensive climate-controlled storage no longer is climate-controlled. All right. So we've been trying to get out of it for 2.5 years. We don't live in it. But, after all, it's our stuff. It might as well dwell in property we own. Why rent any? So it's a long story. But so, yes, we're in Globe, and this is where we'll stay. And you're not listening to me because Bob went to commercials, rightfully so. So I'll prattle on, and then we'll talk about rip currents. All right. All that and more coming up. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's season one of the Cosby Show. It's actually the same song. It's "Kiss Me" that Stu Gardner and Bill Cosby composed, but there are 7 versions of it. Each season was a different version, except for 6 and 7 were the same. Season 4 was Bobby McFerrin, as you'll hear, and so that's the deal. And good stuff. And it was Linda in Richardson Park who said, "Play the theme song," and I don't think she realized that was going to be actually 7 versions of it. But you'll hear them all tonight. Why not? And you might bring back memories of some good dancing in some of those seasons. So anyway, 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. And of course, it came up because of the sad news that that Malcolm Jamal Warner, 54 years old, healthy, dead, drowning off the coast of Costa Rica. Now, I will say, by the way, that from everything I've heard, drowning is actually a pleasant way to go, comparatively. Hard to believe, but true. Now, I realize nobody's come back who's actually fully gone over, but of all the people in their near-death experiences and other people who survived by the skin of their teeth, it's actually very pleasant after the panic leaves you. All right, now here is the deal. Why this was such a surprise to me is that, again, in ignorance, I just assumed everybody understood what rip currents were and what to do about them. Because if you grew up around the ocean and stuff, it's just a way of life. You know this. Firstly, rip currents happen for a couple reasons atmospherically and in the water. And it can bring speeds of, literally 10 miles an hour that you're moving in a rip current. But the deal is the rip current isn't very wide. And where people get into trouble and people die from this more often than you know. You'll hear the news every now and then, like 6 people on the west coast of Florida and 7 people on the east coast of Florida, all die in a rip current. It was largely because they did not understand what to do. The bottom line is if you're in a rip current, firstly, you're probably going to panic, and that's the worst thing you could do. But then the next thing is you're going to try to swim to shore. That will kill you. Period. It's not even a question. Even the strongest swimmer is not going to make it against a rip current. So first thing, if you can relax, great. Remember that rip currents do not pull you under. You're moving at a pretty fast clip, but you're not being pulled under. So for some people, just floating to the extent of the rip current can be all right. But for most people, you want to do something. And again, where people get into trouble is they swim against the current and you will not make it. So what you want to do is swim out of the current. And this is something to just remember. And what I always say is start swimming, horizontally. Don't try to get back to the shore. Go sideways. And you'll escape the rip current pretty quickly if you go sideways. Now, if for some reason that's not working and you just cannot escape it, it happens occasionally, then float, period, as much as possible. But, of course, in doubt, don't go out. But these things can happen very suddenly, and they can happen to the point that they are absolutely killers from the standpoint of the current and how robust it is. Don't swim against a rip current to get back to the shore. You are not going to do that. And what's scary is the rip current is going to pull you away from the shore, and that's true even if you're a good swimmer. You will be pulled away. That's okay. That's right. Swim sideways. Period, if you're going to swim, or float if you can. But it's a very narrow channel in most cases, and it has to do with a break in the sandbar and how water flows and all that kind of stuff. But speeds, like I say, several miles an hour, and strength, it varies, but can be very strong as far as that goes. But you'll hear these stories occasionally about people dying, and in all cases, it's because they did not understand it. You cannot. Absolutely cannot swim back to shore when you're in a rip current. You're not going to get there. Yeah, swim sideways. And once you're out of the rip current, and you'll feel it when you are, then you can swim back to shore, again, away from the rip current, so at a diagonal of sorts, and you'll be fine. But sadly, apparently, I assume that that Malcolm Jamal Warner did not know that, and very, very sad. And passersby were aware of his plight and got him to shore, but unfortunately, it was too late. And rest in peace. But if anything, I would say take this as educational. Yeah, swim sideways if this happens to you. All right. So I was actually, like I say, very, very surprised. But then again, it's the kind of thing where if you know this, you assume everybody in the world knows this. But no, they apparently do not. So And Malcolm Jamal, named after Malcolm X and Ahmaud Jamal, and raised in L.A., even though he was born in Jersey City. And he was a, you know, prodigy. By the age of 9, he was in acting schools and doing, doing some kids' appearances. And, of course, then wound up as Theo Huxtable, which clearly from 84 to 92 was pretty darn good. And it was interesting. He auditioned for the role on the final day of a nationwide search. So he was like unknown to them, and then sure enough, there he was, and much more. You probably know about some of his other work, and rest in peace. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh, and yes, of course we will get to some anecdotes on Ozzy Osbourne if you have any as well, and that's mixed emotions on that. For one thing, he's been sick for quite a while, and he's in a much better place, and I truly believe that. I don't think it's just a stupid phrase, but for fans left behind, it's sad. And yeah, as Dennis was saying earlier, the one thing about him is he absolutely was a real person, and he valued his fans, and he let them know it. And it's so weird saying a real person when you see this guy in costume and eating bats, but yes, a real down-to-earth person. Jan in Dallas, welcome to WGN Radio.
Oh, hello, Raleigh. You introduced me to the Halos.
Oh, yeah.
And I was wondering if you would play Nag.
Oh, gosh, yes, yes. A fine Phil Spector record. Yeah. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
You betcha. It'll be after all this stuff from the Cosby Show, but I'll get it on for you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Yes, yes. Early Phil Spector. Yeah, before Wall of Sound, when I thought his stuff was just terrific. All right, we're going to get to David in Muskegon, and he likes heavy metal, so we'll talk to him about that. Oh, it was interesting today. I had someone helping me pack, and she's a woman in her 30s and has a couple of kids and all that. She's just great. But we were talking, and she was mentioning about her dad, and she said, oh, he's a heavy metal fan. He loves heavy metal. And, you know, it's one of those things, like, in my mind, it's like control, alternate, delete. I'm blinking at the 640K prompt. I just flat out can't imagine that somebody's father is a heavy metal fan, and that somebody is an adult. But, why should I be surprised? Ozzy Osbourne had many, many fans. All right, so let's talk about the Sea Crane Company, because it's a happy thing to talk about, and I love their stuff. I have the CC Radio 2E by my bedside. What makes it better? Well, you know, I always say the litmus test is simple. Take your average radio, tune it to a weak AM station, then put the CC Radio 2E next to it, tune to the same station, and I will not have to sell this. It will blow it out of the water. It's one of the best AM and FM radios on the market. And, you know, all the radios that Bob Crane developed have one thing in common. They have terrific reception. And this one, of course, no difference there, but it just sounds great, and you will hear things with better quality. It's not going to, you know, do magic. If the signal isn't above your head in some way, it's not going to do anything. But if the signal's there, this will make a weak signal strong, period. And if you like to DX and all that stuff, or if you have favorite stations that aren't in the neighborhood, this is the radio for you. Plus, the 2E also gets the weather with a weather alert, which makes it a good emergency radio. So you can go to ccradio.com anytime, look at the CC Radio 2E, and it's got the power and the strength to bring the signals in better, and it sounds good. High quality audio adjusted just like I'm right in the room with you, or whatever you want it to sound like. Of course, it's got a dial light, and it's got a clock and an alarm and all those kind of things, and presets, absolutely. But you can also fine tune to a great extent too. So go to ccradio.com and look at the CC Radio 2E. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, you can call them. They've got the world's best customer service, 24 hours a day. They will send you a free catalog in the mail. If you can't look at it online, they'll answer all your questions, and you can order by phone as well. 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, I advise you do it. Go to ccradio.com. Look at the CC Radio 2E. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's season two of The Cosby Show. Linda and Richmond Park wanted to hear the opening for the opening theme song, and there actually were seven different versions of it. The song itself is Kiss Me, and Bill Cosby co-wrote it. But seasons one, two, three, four, five, and then six and seven are the same same theme, and then eight. So you'll hear them all tonight, as well as your requests like Nag by the Halo and Halos, and a couple more as well. I know we had Billy Bob and Bourbonnais who wanted to hear You Can't Sit Down, and we're going to play them the original, the instrumental, Phil Upchurch, and more. So 888-876-5593. David is in Muskegon. Hello, David.
Hi there. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing better than Ozzy Osbourne, I guess, or maybe not.
I know. I am, maybe too. I can't believe, you know, I knew he was at death's door because when they did that tribute with Guns N' Roses, Metallica, and they had several other bands up there, and he was sitting in a wheelchair, I knew it was kind of the end for him.
Yeah.
And it just reminds you of our mortality because he's 76 years old, and I'm like 72, and I remember Black Sabbath.
Well, of
and
course.
I really enjoyed their music a whole lot, and it introduced me basically to hard rock, what was considered hard rock back then, back in 1970.
Yeah, heavy metal.
And,
yep.
It just, you know, it tells you that, you know, and this man had been suffering for years.
Yes.
People thought he was a drunk, but I
he was. No. Let's not take that away from him. He was. He absolutely, through 79, could drink you under the table. So when people thought he was a drunk, that's because he was a drunk.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Well,
and
yeah.
I was wondering if he hadn't been suffering since the 90s with Parkinson's.
No, he had not been. He was diagnosed in February of 2023.
Oh, really?
But he was, just like Black Sabbath, he was a monumental substance abuser. And, you know, I mean, there are so many stories with regard to that, you know, you could read it ad nauseum. But Sharon was the best thing that had ever happened to him. And after the 70s, Ozzy absolutely cleaned up. And, of course, they had the TV show and all that kind of stuff. So you got to see some of his internal lives. But, yeah, this is a guy who basically had a lifelong battle with drug addiction and alcohol, period. So when you say people thought it, well, it's not that they thought it; it's that it was true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know he started really slurring his words like back in the 90s. He didn't do it before that.
Well,
but in the 90s, like any interview, he slurred his words.
Yeah, but there were probably a number of things that caused that. But you know, I saw an article a while ago that said, "We'll be quick and to the point. We'll give you a list of drugs that Ozzy Osbourne didn't do." And it was bottom line. It was he was addicted to drugs in the 60s, and throughout the 70s, all of the band members used heavy drugs, but Ozzy beat them to hell and back for volume and intensity. You know, I mean, this was the deal. And part of it was prescription. A lot of it was street drugs and all that. And he self-proclaimed. He said he was on booze and coke and heroin and acid and quaaludes, glue, cough syrup, and everything else. So,
And
then he talks about in Rohypnol and Klonopin and Vicodin and cough syrup. And on more than a few occasions, I was on all of them at the same time. He was fired for that, actually. He was fired in 79 because this guy was not reliable. And so the band paid a lot of money to settle his contract. And at that point, he sealed himself inside a hotel room for like 3 months. And he spent all the money, and it was hundreds of thousands of dollars, on drugs and parties. And then, you know, Sharon said, you got to launch a solo career. And through the 80s, that actually accelerated his drug use. And, he's banned from the city of San Antonio. And sure enough, he was very, very high when he urinated on a memorial to fallen veterans. He got arrested in Memphis for public intoxication. There were a number of things. And poor Sharon, I mean, there was one incident where he tried to choke her and all this kind of stuff. So it went from eccentric to disturbing. Well, of course, he's on Columbia Records. They're going to be very disturbed. So they call him to a meeting, and he climbs up on a table and does a striptease. I kid you not. And so, you know, he wandered off into this tangent. And then there was that MTV, I'll bet you this MTV stuff is still on YouTube, or on YouTube if you can find it. That's when he wandered off into a tangent about how much he admired Adolf Hitler. So I hope that's, I hope that's there. He says he had a lot of charisma in a bad way, but I kind of admired him. You know, that yeah, it was just not good.
I'd be in the ovens if probably
given a chance, we all would be. But that said, the case, so that was really the first part of their marriage. And Sharon was thinking, well, that's just a lifestyle of musicians. And later in the 80s, she came to realize that no, that's not what it was. And she wanted her children to be safe from this, because she was afraid that, two of the three kids were following in his footsteps. And that was true. One of the kids, a 13-year-old, was prescribed Vicodin for tonsillitis. And next thing you know, he's using it recreational at 13. And that kid went into rehab for prescription drugs and all that. And then the boy, Jack, I think is the boy's name, but started drinking and, all that. And he admitted that he had a problem with alcohol. So, you're saying people thought that he did this. They didn't think he did this. And so he was, Ozzy was in rehab a few times. It was a revolving door. And so, like I say, it would be easier to say what drugs he didn't do, and that was that was the deal. And then, of course, here comes the reality show, and he was drinking during that. And he said, "Yeah, you try the craziness of having a camera crew at your house 24 hours a day." Yeah, kind of understand that. And so then he was in an accident during the show and had horrific injuries. I think that was on a quad. And then he broke like a vertebra and ribs and collarbone and airlifted, and that was a big episode. And what happens, you can guess, right? He gets dependent on the prescription drugs after that. And so he probably didn't embrace sobriety until 2006. And the reality is he's had a few brief relapses since then, but it was lasting sobriety from, 2006. So we're really looking at like 19 years and almost daily 12-step meetings. And, of course, the support of his family, and his son, Jack, has been sober as well, and all of that. So, and, of course, it scared Sharon straight, because when she saw her kids following in the footsteps, this is not going to be okay. So Jack, unfortunately, has MS, and that's really, really sad. But of course, Ozzy had Parkinson's, and but with that much drugs, it's a wonder he made it as long as he did.
Because to admire Adolf Hitler, what would he admire?
Well, no, I'll tell you. Well, I believe I know what he was trying to do, and it was just a very bad choice of doing it. You know, the thing is, as absolutely despicable as everything that Adolf Hitler stood for is, and I mean, I can't condemn him strongly enough, period. But the thing that you have to realize when you look at this is somebody, remember, look at what he convinced the German people to do and to think and all that. If you listen to his speeches, this is a guy who had a form of charisma, and he had followers, and there was something about him that for some people led them to do the unthinkable. And I think that's what Ozzy was trying to say. He wasn't trying to say that he admired what Hitler did. He was admiring the level of charisma and charm he had, that he could do it.
Oh, okay. I get you there, because it didn't seem like he was the type of person
like
Hitler.
Right, had nothing to do with what Hitler was espousing. It was that in spite of what Hitler was espousing, he had the level of charisma that created followers. It was almost hypnotic in some of those speeches.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is true from listening to
him. Right, then
A&E, and
right.
When I was in sixth grade.
Right, exactly. And so from that standpoint, I know exactly what he's trying to say. Unfortunately, he didn't say it very well.
Yes, and yeah, because I was getting very upset.
Yeah,
I'd be in the oven.
Well, no, everybody would. Trust me. But bottom line is I blew the break again. Thank God for Bob at Master Control, but we're off the air at WGN. They're in news. So I will talk to you later.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so there you have it. Yeah, I can't tell time. And thank God Bob can, and he actually listens to the show. So after the news, we will reconvene talking about whatever is on your mind, assuming you're listening to the stream now. Otherwise, I'm talking to myself, and I've been known for that too. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's season three of The Cosby Show. Like I said, you can see all this stuff. I'm sure it's all on YouTube. And the best part is actually what we can't show you, no matter how often you look into your speaker, and that's the dancing that goes with them. It is all the same song. Of course, it's all Kiss Me, but it's different versions of it with each season, except season 6 and 7, which were the same. All right, so we'll hear them all, and that's because Linda in Richardson Park asked us to play them. All right, Linda. So which is your favorite, Linda?
I think the first one you played, I kind of like that one.
Okay.
I haven't heard all. I haven't heard all 8 yet.
Yeah. Well, like I say, there's only 7 because they use the same one for season 6 and 7. So there's only 7 out of the 8.
Okay. Well, until I hear them all, I'll have to let you call back and let you know another day.
All right. Yeah.
I want to thank you for playing them. I really appreciate it. And I hope the people enjoy it as much as I am.
I bet you they will, because they were very infectious. And if you've seen them on the show, you can remember the dancing to each of them, and that was the best
right,
part.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That was the good part. And, I thank you for playing it. You know, I was just thinking, he played in some other movies after the Bill Cosby Show. Yeah. He played in the one movie was called Fool of Gold with Matthew McConaughey in it. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I loved his early stuff, you know, like those albums, like I Started Out as a Child and all that, that mid-60s stuff on Warner Brothers. I just loved it. You know, so
yeah,
I was a fan, and we're not going to talk about what sadly had transpired, but I keep thinking that there's more to that story than we're ever going to know, and
could be possible.
Yeah.
You know, he was they say he was out on vacation with his wife and his daughter.
Yeah, yeah,
and he got in a riptide, and they had no people out there, no proper guards out there. He was too far out.
Even if they had guards, if you don't know what to do in a riptide, it'll kill you. You know, and he most likely did what most people will do if they don't know. They'll try to swim back to shore, and that's going to kill them.
Yep.
And just sad.
It was sad. You know, he's pretty young guy, too.
54? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty young,
Of course it is. Of course
they
it
said
is.
They said his mother's taking it okay. You know, she's kind of got on it.
Well, I don't know how you ever really, really take it okay, but, it's one of the things about life. But, yes, he did an awful lot after the Cosby Show, including he was on Major Crimes. He was Lieutenant Chuck Cooper on the LAPD Special Investigation Unit. So, yeah.
I have that movie.
Yeah.
I had a movie, Fool is Gold. That's good with Matthew McConaughey. And that is funny. That is funny.
And
but I like a lot of funny stuff. You know,
yeah. No, I mean, he had a lot going on. And sadly, would have had a lot more going on. So it's just one of those very, very sad things.
It was a very sad thing. It's going to take for me a lot to get over that.
Oh, yeah.
When Michael Jackson died, it took me months to get over here. I was get up depressed, go to bed depressed because I love Michael Jackson. But this Osborne guy, I feel sorry for him because he started off good. He started off really good, but seemed like he had that charisma. and it was back in the 60s, people was liking that heavy metal, you know?
Yeah, it was never my stuff, you know. I couldn't relate to it at all, but...
I could not relate to that heavy metal.
No,
and why would he always have, a snake tongue? Did he ever take it off?
Yeah, right, no, or the bats and all that. It was pure theater. And for people who love it, well, that's fine. It'll never be my stuff. But through it all, as I say, anybody who knew him or worked with him had very positive things to say about him. He was an upstanding guy.
They say he was nice, you know, but I think the drugs took him over.
Well, absolutely. And he would be, and not only took him over, he started this as a child, 13, 14 years old. So it was all part of it. But as far as the musical stuff, you know, I absolutely respect somebody liking that stuff. But since I don't, I can't comment on it because it just doesn't float in my boat. But for those who love it, that's great.
Yeah, that's just fine. It's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly.
So, you know, I said, well, the only thing about it is we have some good musical artists out there, and they're highly talented, but if they want to choose the wrong road to go down, it's going to mess them up every time.
Well, and unfortunately, when you're successful, it's very easy to make that choice. And
true.
So for many of us, what stops us is the fact that we can't afford it. We don't have the ability to have that lifestyle. So even if we might want to do it, we wouldn't. But when you're in a position where everything's being thrown at you, if you have those predilections, you're going to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. I hate that because
a
lot of people just can't control.
I know.
You know, they can't control themselves, you know. That's why I'd be afraid for my cousin, but he's doing really good. Howard and the White Boys, he's pretty straight with it.
Good.
And I have some other cousins that's in the music field. They're kind of straight, you know, so that's good. So
I got that CD after you told me about it. I got it at my other studio, and I think he's just great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. I forgot the CD that I told you. What was the name of it?
You know, and I don't, it's in the other studio. It's right, and I don't remember now, but it's sitting there right on my desktop. When I get back there, I will play something from it and tell you.
Yeah, I remember there was a CD I had mentioned.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. And well, I just enjoy what you do, and there's no other person like you. You are so talented, and like you said, Ozzy Osbourne had charisma. You have charisma too.
Well, that's
everybody listens to you.
That's nice of you to say, but no, I just spent 3 hours talking ad nauseum from Monday through Thursday, and I'm thrilled you called. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay.
And
thanks.
Thank you once again.
All right.
Bye,
thanks.
Bye.
Appreciate it. All right. So yeah, we'll hear the next season 4 coming up on the next. Break. So yes, Bob, who is very well read, was telling me that it happened once again. Yeah, art consumed. Someone ate the banana. You're aware of this, right? You know about Maurizio Catalan, his $9.55 million banana. Yeah, it's it defies imagination. Just like I say, I don't understand heavy metal. Well, I really don't understand art as far as that go. His artwork is a fresh banana taped to a wall with duct tape. And apparently now it's been eaten again to a visitor to a museum in France. And my thought was, wait a minute, wouldn't that be considered theft? And Bob assured me that no, they want you to eat the banana. So the piece, by the way, the fresh banana taped to a wall with duct tape, is known as Comedian. Oh, what's funny, all right. Eaten by a gallery goer at Centre Pompidou Metz in eastern France. And yes, the security team acted quickly and calmly. Well, yeah, guy ate the banana. All right, so they reinstalled the artwork a few minutes later. Now, when I first read that, I thought, how do you do that? Well, they use another banana. All right, see, that's the trick. Because at first I thought, wait a minute, I don't want that. No, it's a different banana. And so the banana is the only perishable element replaced on a regular basis, according to the artist's instructions. Yeah, we've all gone to hell in a handbasket. That's right. Society, as we know it, is has gone to Absurdian. That's right. Absurdistan. That's where we went. And it's alarming. And by the way, this was debuted at the art fair in Miami in 2019 in Florida. Somehow that fits, doesn't it? And at that time, a performance artist grabbed the banana, peeled peeled it and ate it in front of hundreds of stunned attendees. And so that was the viral moment for said banana. The artwork sold with a replacement banana for $120,000 at the fair. Get out of town! I can't imagine it. Then in 2023, an art student took the banana from a wall in Seoul, South Korea, and ate it. And then last year, a Chinese collector, Justin Sun, the founder of a cryptocurrency platform, who clearly had more money than brains, acquired comedian for $6.24 million at an auction and then ate the banana. I guess it's the most eaten artwork. There's got to be an award for that somewhere. And we thank Bob for that uplifting story. And another theme from The Cosby Show is coming up next on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and you can tell that's Bobby McFerrin. Yep, he was performing season 4's Kiss Me for the Bill Cosby Show. Yeah, that Bill and Stu Gardner wrote. So we've gone through 4 seasons. We've got 8, but only 3 more songs because 6 and 7 are the one song. All right, well, it's all the same song. It's all Kiss Me, but different takes of that. So you will hear season 5 coming up next. So Linda and Rich and Park got to hear them all. All right, so 888-876-5593. Like I say, it threw me in the news that they were actually talking about ways to educate people that smoking wasn't good for you. And it seems to me that that would be a lock. But apparently, there's a growing trend of people defending cigarette smoking. And, some of it's the old bugaboos like, well, weight control. And doctors, in the 40s and 50s used to actually prescribe that. Smoke, you'll lose weight. Stress and anxiety management and improved focus and concentration. By the way, there's a seed of truth to both of those, but the problem is that long term it backfires on you and it gets worse. But what I found interesting is the number of studies that are starting to go on. I say starting because there's been nothing conclusive about this yet, but there are some incidental reports where smoking actually lowers your risk of Parkinson's disease. Now, of course, the amount of deaths from smoking versus the amount of deaths from Parkinson's, I'll leave it to you to do the math. But it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves over time, because, of course, the question becomes then why? What is it that causes that? Likewise, it has lessened ulcerative colitis and the risk of developing it, which is interesting. Again, nobody's recommending that you take up smoking, but it is interesting that people with a history of smoking have a lower risk of developing it. Yeah. Same for endometrial cancer. And there's an inverse relationship between the risk of endometrial cancer and the amount of cigarette smoking. And that might be because it's anti-estrogenic, but, it's hard to tell. The bottom line, obviously, is smoking is highly addictive, the nicotine, and the health consequences in general are devastating. And any of the benefits might be temporary. But there again, that said, when you're hearing, and I've also heard that said anecdotally about how you're less likely to get Alzheimer's, I don't know. But Parkinson's, that's come out a lot. In fact, the National Institutes of Health has taken a look at that. But so far, nothing. But so anyway, I guess there is a counter argument, but I still can't imagine spending money to tell people that smoking is bad for you, since I can't imagine that there's anybody who didn't get the message. Now, we also have, from the sublime to the absurd, we have the Center for Disease Control weighing in on the latest heat alert. 18 states, he alerted yesterday with the National Weather Service, the urgency of you taking steps to reduce the risk of heat illnesses. And I get that. Having had heat stroke, I understand. But here again, it amazed me that 18 states are saying, well, don't drink Yeah, obviously, not only alcohol, but caffeine isn't your friend either. In terms of that, staying hydrated. I know water, a fish swim in it. None of us necessarily like it, but you want to stay as hydrated as you can. And both alcohol and caffeine do the exact opposite. But yeah, so they did that yesterday for a list of states that was pretty alarming: Kansas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky, and yeah, save the best for last, Illinois. So heat warning, an extreme heat warning. Now, of course, it's all relative because I'm sitting here in Arizona where, you know, when it's 122 degrees, we start to get the heat warning. Yeah, start. Yeah, so, but the difference is that in general, we have less humidity. And anybody who says that doesn't make a difference is, has not experienced it. And today was the perfect example here because normally, like I say, it's in the hundreds in July, period, every day. But today wasn't where I was. It was like 89 degrees. But for the first time, instead of the humidity being 6%, 7%, it was like 59%. And I'll tell you, it did. It felt hotter. Yeah, I don't know if it's psychological or what, but it just felt miserable. And so, you know, people who laugh and say, you know, it's a dry heat. That's funny. No, actually, it is a dry heat. And that that's the deal. So what's going on in the Midwest? A heat dome with record-breaking hot conditions across South Central U.S. So everybody from Wichita Falls and Dallas and Kansas City. And for places like that, this will be the first time it's hit 100 degrees this year. And it spreads east later in the week, they say. And so that's the weather. So stay cool as much as possible. Yes, and obviously it goes to say your best defense is not to say this is when I'll drink. All right. So what else do we? Corn sweat. Yeah, Bob, who keeps us honest and screens all the calls, sent me some wonderful articles, and he's in the news right now. I just realized that. I know. And how do I repay him? I don't even realize it's 9:30, so I'll shut up. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, there it is. That's season 5 of The Cosby Show. And again, another interpretation of Kiss Me, the lead, the opening theme. That was my least favorite of any of them. But I'll leave it to you. We'll have two more. We've got season 6 and 7, which is the same, and then season 8. And yeah, and of course, we're mourning the absolutely untimely passing. And so, yeah, we were talking about Rip Currents and all of that stuff. So, yes, rest in peace, Malcolm Jamal Warner. All right, 888-876-5593. Larry is a first-time caller in Little Rock. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. Hey, Larry. You sometimes touch on a few of your songs. Do you recall the Joyner Arkansas Junior High School Band playing Pomp and Circumstance with that famous organ?
Yes, of course. RCA. Of course. That actually was a wonderful song.
You do remember.
Absolutely. You betcha. And they charted with some stuff, too.
Really?
Yes, they did. I got to pull that out here and find
it's
it.
Amazing. Yeah. If you don't mind, I wanted to ask you about the old stations. You were talking about all the AM stations, and I knew some guys that won. And, were Echo Machines... You know, they kind of got popular in the 60s. This is 61.
Well, you're talking about Reverb. And some stations called it surround sound. And, of course, you'd have a different amount of reverb on the music than you would on the pots for the announcers. And God forbid you screw that up. And it ranged. There were a number of audio tricks that were employed. And
I'm sure.
In the end,
made with a hose. Was that common?
Well, what reverb? Reverb was very common.
For reverb? No, I meant the station engineer had like 25-foot coil hose and put a funnel in each end and a driver from an outdoor speaker in one and a microphone in the other.
Well,
and it was great.
There are so many ways to create reverb. I won't say that was common.
Or was it? That's what I was asking. I didn't know it because it seemed unbelievable to me. You know, I was in the 10th grade. But thank you. Yeah, you certainly know a lot. I'd say that, and I'm glad you welcomed me on the show.
Yeah, so tell me, are you from Little Rock originally?
Yes.
Then you grew up with KWAY.
Right.
Yeah.
Your channel, and yeah, you were talking about those one night, and it was really something. And you can get WLS here.
Of course you can. You can get a lot of the clear channels there. You're in a very good position with that. Yeah, in the heyday, KWAY was owned by Lynn. Lynn Broadcasting.
Owned by what?
Lynn, L-I-N, Lynn Broadcasting. It stood for Louisville, Indianapolis, Nashville, only they never got a station in Indianapolis. But anyway, it's a long story. But they were the owner of KWAY through the 60s. And Lynn was a really nice little chain. And I like them. Some of their shows they would do from the transmitter. And middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, I've been DXing. I'm in an apartment that faces due north and south. And I can get Atlanta. It's amazing. Cincinnati, Louisville, you, of course, WNS, WOAI.
Of course.
Tulsa. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Well, KVOO out of Tulsa, but WOAI out of San Antonio, of course. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way it was set up years ago by the FCC. Those are the clear channel frequencies that they're either 1A or 1B, whether they're directional or they're not. And they cover intentionally an awful lot of ground. Now, what's interesting is sometimes you don't get the clear channels that are closer to you because of the phase zone, you know, where ground wave and sky wave meet at night.
In the pattern.
Well, if ground wave and sky wave meet, they cancel each other out. So if you're like 100 miles to 150 miles from a clear channel station, you may not be picking it up. But something further away, you know, like a WWL in New Orleans
Skip, I'm on the radio, you know, actual radio. I think I mentioned that. But, it varies with the weather, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
When I was in high school, I'm 80. And I'm doing what I did then again. Listening to the radio.
That's great. I'm delighted that you're listening to us, and I'm so glad you called. I hope you're going to do it again.
Yeah, well, okay. I've been listening for some time now, and there's a bunch of songs. I'll just say the names. You know, it's in the book, and Grandma's Lye Soap, and...
Oh, of course.
Them Bones, the Delta Harmony Quartet, those.
Okay.
Someday, maybe talk about it. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Yeah, it's in the book. All right, we'll play that one night, I promise. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh takes us to Eduardo in Tampa. What's up tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh, good evening. Over the weekend, people were bringing this up. You might have a little bit more insight on this. So apparently the animals over there by Yellowstone were kind of going into some Noah's Ark parade.
This is not true. But it is all over the internet, and this shows you what AI will do. And most of these are AI, you know, generated videos, and you're seeing like the bears and the lions and the elk, large groups, and those saying Exodus and Yellowstone and all this. And the theory is that the animals are sensing something is amiss. Forget about the fact the National Park Service says there's no scientific evidence wildlife can sense impending earthquakes. By the way, I wouldn't be surprised if they could. But the animals didn't do this. Wildlife did not leave Yellowstone National Park in large numbers. People who were there said this just didn't happen. And so one of the gals from Yellowstone said, we believe the video that's circulating is satirical in nature. Well, it may be, but it's definitely, some type of generated or manipulation, at least, of video footage. Thousands of species, you know, 300 species of birds alone. They weren't all flying the coop over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I just passed something up right now because it comes from this. I just passed this up right now. Yellowstone between 2008 and 2022, 6,000 shakes because of the super volcano over there.
Well, I don't know. There's a super volcano. The earth shakes in all sorts of places nonstop.
Yeah.
So I think the most recent eruption was, 631,000 years ago? Something like that. That was the major one. I think that as far as recorded history, we know of three eruptions and, about 170,000.
Mount San Helens, right? 1980?
I'm thinking of the big eruptions, like 174,000 years ago. And that that created part of Yellowstone Lake. And then the massive one that I say that's like over 630,000 years ago. But they've had lots of smaller ones since then. But it's not unusual. It's okay. Just like, you know, Old Faithful is not as faithful as it used to be. I guarantee you that's true. I've sat there for hours on end and realized, huh, it isn't that faithful. But I don't know. I don't know for sure when it really was faithful. I can tell you that it's not now. You can't time anything by it. But you know, as far as all these people saying the bison are leaving in mass exodus, no, it just didn't happen.
Okay. Well, so, that is good. That's reassuring.
Well, I don't know if it is or not. I mean, I kind of would have loved to seen it if they were. You know, it's like, what's up with that? But no. So I don't think. Yeah, they showed all these pictures of you know, bison traveling on the highway. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I don't think. As far as the amount of animals that do leave the park, there's nothing unusual about the numbers. There is a seasonal migration pattern. We were there one year. I remember this so vividly because we had an old Jeep, and the bison, there were a few bison. Well, one of them decided to make love to the Jeep. And all I can tell you is we rocked and we rolled for quite some time till it realized that the Jeep wasn't going to respond. But I'd never seen anything hump a Jeep quite like this animal. So, you know, it's just the migratory patterns.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we've been talking about that over the weekend, but that's reassuring. I'm glad it wasn't anything.
Yeah, no.
More than that.
No, it's not, you know. And probably when and if something happens, we'll get no warning whatsoever.
Yeah. You know, you guys were talking about Jose Feliciano because he was singing the
Light My Fire.
Right. Who's the other? Ilias did also one version. Obviously, The Doors. But, you know, speaking of The Doors, I don't know if this is well known, but George Morrison, the father.
Okay.
What his title was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's military.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's military.
I didn't even know that.
Absolutely.
The Gulf of Tonkin, I guess he was in that area, to be exact.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a rear admiral in the Navy. He was in World War II. He was in Korea. He was in Vietnam. So he was commanding the forces at Gulf of Tonkin. And that really escalated everything. So, yeah, George Morrison was a Naval Academy graduate. And, right, he was president of Pearl Harbor and, you know, Korean War, of course, and Vietnam. Yeah. And so Rear Admiral is when he retired. He retired as a Rear Admiral. But, the relationship with Jim was kind of a rocky one, to say the least. And, there were a few issues, if you will. Dad was from Rome, Georgia, and got appointed to the United States, you know, Naval Academy and all that, and died in Coronado, which is where retired Naval officers go.
Oh, San Diego. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Coronado, very nice. And, I think he went to the Naval Academy in the 30s, so he would have graduated right around the time of World War II. You know, that's why he witnessed the attack on Pearl Harbor. And so, he was the real deal. In fact, while he was at Pearl Harbor, that's where he met his wife. And his son was born on the Space Coast, Melbourne, Florida, right by Cape Canaveral. And he was stationed at the Naval Air Station in Melbourne. So that's why Jim Morrison was born in Florida. His sister was born in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And again, military and all that kind of stuff. And he had another son, a younger son, who was born in Los Altos. He made it to about 89. He was still alive when I was in San Diego and active, actually, at that time in various things.
Okay.
He was very, very decorated. And the antithesis of
poor... Oh, yeah. Yeah, impressive career, yeah.
Right. The antithesis of poor Jim. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know...
I never would have seen that combo. I just...
Well, right.
Never imagine that.
Oh, you know, that stuff happens more often than you know. But I thought it was interesting that there were magazines when the Doors were first popular that said Jim Morris's father started the Vietnam War. And I'm like, okay then. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it was all his fault. Yeah, all right, or not. I mean, Gulf of Tonkin, yes, I know. But anyway, I think that, people make a lot more of the relationship. And it was rocky, but they make a lot more of it than probably was there. And mm-hmm. So Jim Morrison went to UCLA, graduated, and all that kind of stuff. He was no real slouch as far as that goes. So,
Oh, that's something. You go from Florida to California. That's a leap right there.
Well, yeah, not some. Remember, it was military, so he lived all over the place. I don't think it was quite as volatile as the tabloids made it out to be, but that was the deal. All right. He never mentioned Jim publicly, as far as that goes, and he never brought it up in the Navy and all that. But all the young guys in the Navy knew that was for sure, and Jim just basically was not an issue because he separated himself. He left. And there mm-hmm. was, you know, so that was the deal. All right. Well, good deal. It's always good to hear from you.
Okay, Raleigh. Hey, okay. Have a good day. Well, I'll call
All
back
right.
again. Thank
okay,
you
good
much.
Deal. Thanks. Yeah, there were quotes that Jim said that would kind of raise the hair on the back of your, because there were things where you think he might be pointed toward his dad, but there wasn't much contact, I think, as an adult. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to John from Covington, and right after this, actually, maybe, if we have enough time. Otherwise, next hour, but soon on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So that was season 6 and 7 of The Cosby Show, and that version of Kiss Me. And they're actually dancing on the Apollo sign in New York, the Apollo Theater. And it's kind of a neat video for those 2 years. There was actually some issues with the video, not the Apollo part, but there were other things in it. Anyway, it caused them to use the same thing for 2 years, and then the eighth season was separate, and you'll hear that after the news. But right now, you'll hear from John in Covington. So, actually, John, I thought about you today. I turned on one of my stations, and I heard Bonnie Lou singing Drop Me a Line, and I thought, hell, John would probably remember her. So,
very much, yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I could do this, or have my wife do it, but she's sleeping, obviously, but the song The Glory of Love
The
Five Keys.
Of course.
Okay. And I can't do it myself because of low vision. But anyway, did that chart like national?
Oh yeah, that was a big hit. And then of course there was the version by the Velvetones that used the soliloquy that actually came from someone years earlier. But yeah, it absolutely did chart.
Okay, and then that's used that. Not that version, but it's used at the end of the movie, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a wonderful song.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I just kind of discovered it this afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Rudy West. Yeah, Rudy West. And, well, you've heard the Velvetones version, right? You know about that.
No, but
I'll tell you about that after the news. I'll talk about that next hour.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
One more thing. Out of all the record labels that you have on 45s, which record label would you say is the most diversified?
Well, that's not it. Hang on. We'll talk about it after the news. All right. Okay. So because we're about to go to the news, I don't think that's a 10-second answer. But yeah, and we'll line up some Glory to Love, too, coming up on WGN Radio. That is all of the 7 for the 8 seasons theme songs for The Cosby Show. And that was for Linda and Richardson Park and for everybody mourning the shocking loss. And it was a shocking loss, no doubt about that. You just don't expect that all the way around. So absolutely, Malcolm Jamal Warner, rest in peace. Otherwise known as Theo Huxtable, don't you know? All right, all 8 seasons. 888-876-5593. Now, we're talking to John in Covington about the Glory of Love. Firstly, this was a big band song in the 30s. You know, this was like Benny Goodman and Rudy Valley and people like that. Mm-hmm. And then the Five Keys did it in 1951. And it was a big hit for them. You know, it was on Capitol and all that. It was a big record. It was one of my favorite songs at the time. Loved it.
Good.
The Velvetones came out, and when people first heard the Velvetones, they thought it was original, but what they didn't realize is all the Velvetones were doing was putting Larry Darnell on top of Gloria Love. Now, let me explain. Firstly, I'll play you some of the Velvetones, and you'll hear the soliloquy, and then we'll go to Larry Darnell, but here you go.
You've got to give a little. Take a little and let your poor heart break a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love.
You feel that you're too good, much too good for a nobody like me. You're afraid to present me to the friends in your set. Well, darling, I guess it's best that we should part. But how soon you forget the fine, fine things you've done, and how just a little taste of success has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand, dear, three letters. Three letters from the stage of your fine, fine, super fine career. The first began, Eddie, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one. I will always be grateful for the things that you've done.
That's the story.
The second letter came right after I gave you your start.
That's the glory.
Yes, it came from your pen, dear, but not from your heart. The third, the king, the joke of the deck. You ended your letter in close. Please sign my check. Why, you fool. You poor, sad, worthless, foolish fool. If you think that money can pay for the hard years I have suffered till things broke your way. Yes, I'm answering your last letter that says we must part. I'm tearing it to pieces the way you tore up my heart. I smile when you kiss me and I thrill at your touch. My only sin was I loved you. Much too much.
All right, so that's the Velvetones in 1957, a fine soliloquy.
I would have to say
that
the Five Keys is better simply because...
Well, by the way, of course it's better. No, the whole thing of the Velvetones was it was a pimp on the record. But what I was going to say is that people didn't realize when that came out in 1957 that what the Velvetones were doing was blending a guy named Larry Darnell with the Five Keys. Now, Larry Darnell was a guy, he was probably born in the 20s, and he wound up in New Orleans. And he came up with a song called I'll Get Along Somehow. This will sound a little familiar, I think. Didn't have the soliloquy on it, so the other side does. But you got to hear it. So,
I'm concerned, like that when the I'll Get Along Somehow, it seems to me now.
What I'm trying to tell you is, unfortunately, you didn't hear what I wanted you to hear because I played the wrong side of the darn record. It's a 78. It's the exact soliloquy you would have heard in the Velvetones. Hopefully I've got that soliloquy here. Yes, I do. All right. So
don't go to Nuke.
Oh yeah, no.
Maybe tomorrow night.
No, I'm going to play it either way. So whether you're listening or you're not, I'm going to play that soliloquy. Okay. So if you don't want to hear it, you don't have to. But it's the exact same thing, and obviously it's a pimp on the 1936 big band record that the Five Keys did. And we're not asking you which one you like better, because it doesn't matter. It's not about that.
I understand that, but this last group, it just seems to me that they're trying a little bit too
hard. All right,
hard.
No, you don't. Again, I played the wrong side of it. You don't understand what it was. All right. These are R&B soliloquies. They're pimps. They're not songs from that standard. So, I will play it. But anyway, that's the deal. You ask me another question, and I'll get to it after you're off the phone, because clearly you don't want to hear it. You want to know about what label is the most diverse, and there's no way to answer this question. What I will say is all of the independent labels of of the 50s were diverse in their own ways. And a lot of people would, you're from Cincinnati, would look at Sid Nathan and King Records, and I know why. And you might want to go with that. But I could make an argument for a lot of labels.
All right, Rowley. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
And your knowledge.
All right,
thank
good
you.
Deal. Yeah, all right. Bye-bye. So Larry Darnell, and I do want you to hear it. I should have just played the soliloquy, which is on the other side, because the Velvetones' Gloria Love, when that came out, very few people had heard the Larry Darnell soliloquy.
You're right up on top now, and you want to be free. Why, you feel that you're too good, much too good for nobody like me. Yes, you're afraid to present me to the friends in your set. Oh, well, I guess it's more convenient for us to forget. But how soon you forget all the fine, fine things you said, and how just a little success, yes, just a little taste of success has gone straight to your pretty little head. I hold in my hand three letters, dear, each from three different stages of your fine, super fine career. The first one began, Larry, darling, sweetheart, my wonderful one. I'll always be grateful for the things that you've done. Your second letter came right after I gave you your start. Yes, it came from your pen, dear, but not from your heart. The third is a joker that came with a deck. You ended your letter enclosed, Larry, please find my check. Why, you fool, you poor sad...
And it goes from there. But yeah, it's a direct lift that the Velvetones did. So they combined Larry Darnell with the Five Keys and came up with the Gloria Love that was originally released in 57 and then again in 61 on Imperial. And a fine version it was. But yeah, of course, as far as a straight song, I agree. Nobody's going to beat Rudy West. 888-876-5593, 8888, Raleigh James on the South Side. What's happening tonight, James?
How are you? I'll put another one on the list thing. Okay, this would be Hacksaw Hawkins, I think, A Diamond in a Jukebox.
Oh, God.
A Diamond
in a
Jukebox, if I remember the correct title.
Yeah. All right, let me get this down. All right, you got it.
Okay, and I don't know. Okay, I came across a story about artificial sweetener that's linked to another disorder. Yeah, and I tried to look it up, and it seemed like my phone wasn't exactly cooperating.
Was this like today this news came out?
I don't think so. And it's on like Epic Times, our news thing. Mm. So I'm not completely certain when this comes out anyway. So that's why.
Because there were all sorts of articles over the years. The Cleveland Clinic did a study, but that's now like 3 years old on that. But somebody's always coming up with everything. And a lot of it's true. The most recent one that I hear now and then again is xylitol. But that's not new either.
Yeah, now xylitol, I mean, I remember when it was gums that had
Right.
That of the Wrigley Company thing. And actually, it was popular. I mean, it actually tasted good. I know I tried it a couple of times.
The other thing that came up this year was erythritol.
And the reason
for erythritol, much like xylitol, in the case of erythritol, it is able to breach the blood-brain barrier. So it theoretically will increase the risk of stroke or blood clotting or heart attack.
That's the story they were.
All right. Well, then that's erythritol, and and probably they're now saying, oh, it's brain cell damage. But erythritol has been in the news for a while as far as having a problem. I always go back to it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. For God's sake, stop eating these substitutes. It's just that simple.
Yeah, because your body basically treats certain things. They'll say, okay, I'll treat this like it's supposed to be treated, and you'll think, oh, I thought I feel food that's fooled the system.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're not going to, and all have their own downside, and of course the studies aren't conclusive. They show the link, but in general, I don't care what it is. I don't know of any sweetener on the market that I would think is very good to consume. I just don't.
Yeah, and okay. I won't even go into what possessing Coca-Cola to go from syrup, from corn syrup back to sugar.
Well, they should, but I don't think they will. I mean, I know that's been in the news, but I'm not holding my breath. Now, you can't. In fact, I had three of the Mexican Cokes, which is, you know, a specialty drink. They don't sell it in Mexico, but the Mexican bottlers in Tijuana Juarez bottle it for Americans. And it is. It is cane sugar. And it's a lot better.
Oh, guess what? I think it was Jewel a couple weeks back had a nice little sale. I think unfortunately it was in the digital, but you could get 10 bottles for a dollar each.
Oh, man, I'd have gotten... Yeah, when I lived in Chattanooga, which is where the first Coca-Cola bottler was, they knew me at the distributor because I'd drive up and they'd say, how many cases do you want? And they'd just put it in the back of the car, and that would be fine. And it was less than a dollar a piece. It was wonderful. But now,
oh,
God,
yeah.
I'm paying $2 on the sales. I'm paying $2 a bottle for that, and I go through it like nothing.
Oh, guess what? This one Jewel that I go to, even when it's not on sale, where it's just $2.
Yeah.
They basically grab them up as like they're manna from heaven.
Oh, absolutely no. And the other thing is, I'm so fussy. I'll go through it. Like if they'll have 50 at the store, I'll go through because the bottlers do not bottle them consistently. So some have a lot more Coke in them than others, and I'll sit there comparing them, taking the ones that have the most Coke, and you know, walking out of there with 30 or whatever, leaving 20 behind.
Yeah, I know, like, they have one, like, they'll have in one section, they'll have them shelved up right near the deli area.
Yeah.
And they'll have over, and then they'll just simply say, and by the time when you look over, you see, especially, it doesn't even matter if there's a sale going on, but if it's a sale, that's even worse, because what'll happen is, what you might see about 60 bottles near the deli have been. Or there might be only 15, maybe less, left there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then over in the section where there's about 50 to 100, there might be only 20 left.
Yeah, well, you know, it's good stuff. But like I say, they don't. They used to make that for sale in Mexico, but when the laws changed and the bottlers could use corn syrup, they do. Because not so much because it's cheaper, though it is, but because it mixes easier with liquid than cane sugar does. So it's a cheaper process for them. But they know that specialty market in the U.S. exists. So you've got two bottlers, like I say, one's in Juarez and the other's in Tijuana. And, you know, I tend to prefer the Tijuana bottler, but I'll take either. And,
Yeah, I know one time I went to a restaurant and I asked for one. It came ice cold and, definitely, I said it was better. In fact, it reminded me. It was better than even the old Coke that they used to have before they changed to the corn syrup.
You know, it's about the same. But the key to the product is, like the old vending machines, you have to get it right as it's forming ice crystals. It has to be that cold, or it just doesn't work. So I always put mine in the freezer and then pop them out just in time where they're just forming the ice crystals, and man, just nothing like it.
Yeah, and I gotta admit, when I had it, I drank it up before I finished my meal.
Oh yeah, no, I don't even drink them with meals. I just drink them. Yeah,
but it was definitely. I said, I thought to myself, Raleigh is right about this.
Yeah, but
if I'm not careful, I might get addicted to this.
Oh, it's easy. But again, it's got to be that cold. If it's not almost freezing, you lose it all. So if you can get it that cold, man, it's the best.
Yeah. And they sell all these different ones. The Fanta from Mexico.
Yeah, right. Of course.
From Mexico. And those disappear real fast, too.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But no, I'm just a Coke girl, and And the other thing is, for God's sakes, don't put ice on it. This cannot have ice. It must be just out of the bottle, just right at the freezing point. Yep.
Yeah, because all the ice does is dilute.
Oh, it does. Yeah, you can't have that. Just can't. Does not work. Kills the taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to at least comment on that.
Yeah,
I said that was That was definitely when I had it that time.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh," and I thought about it. Unfortunately, I had bought too much, and I said, "Oh," and I had this bag, so I said, and I was basically taking on a bus, so I said, "No, I don't." Those bags they give you in the grocery store, they are basically they are meant to do one thing: go from there to the recycling, as short a time as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
And at the same time, the sea makes a dime of a bag off of it.
Yeah. There you go. All right, well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. It is that good. Just dangerous, though. Yep.
Yeah, it basically is like it makes you want to say, "Oh, walk this way." Oh, and I knew that last bumper last night, and when I said my parents had the record,
Madeline Bell,
two versions of it.
Yeah,
and I said, "Now what's that name?" And I looked back to make sure I had the right name. Then I tried to email it.
Oh,
because
well,
I knew I couldn't touch touch on the phone fast enough.
And I don't see those emails till after the show. And you know, I know that some people try to text, and what they don't understand is that phone number does not take text. So I never see any text people send, because occasionally I'll get this.
Yeah, that's why I sent the email.
Right, and that worked. I saw it after the show. But yeah, I don't look at them during the show.
Yeah, and I was interested in actually getting winning on that, but I said I knew, and that was one that I knew because it was like reminded me of one of the ones my parents had, this whole stack of 45.
Sure.
It was like almost as tall as I was.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And so they had lost, they didn't have enough space, so they put it into a tall box.
Right. Yeah, no, actually, as contests, I used to give away your height in 45s, but that's been a long time. In any event, I blew the news again, so that's on.
Okay.
Yeah, completely.
Let me get, so you can get ready for the next person. Okay,
right.
I just had to call and tell you that.
Good to talk to you. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Yeah,
hope John continues getting better.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Bye. So it's just not a good night for me and the clock, but that's the way it is. And right, it's not going to get better. And Bob keeps me in line, and just that's the way it's supposed to be. WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Well, that's the original, the Philip Church Combo, You Can't Sit Down, 1961 on Boyd. Yeah, how many records can you name on Boyd? All right, and it was on the UA overseas, but here it was on good old Boyd Records, and that was a label out of Oklahoma City, actually. There was a little singer, Bobby Boyd, who had that, and he released Philip Upchurch Combo, and of course, they heard it over at Cameo Parkway and had the Dobells do it with words. And that was Billy Bob from Bourbonnais who wanted to hear that, and now he has. All right, so with that in mind, 888-876-5593. We have, let's see here, Chris in Greenwood. What's happening tonight, Chris?
Hey, Raleigh, how's it going? I just heard the passing of Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yes, we were talking about that. We played all the different openings to the Cosby Show. Yeah, very, very sad. And as I was saying earlier, so unnecessary because rip currents, if you don't know what you're doing, they'll take you faster than anything. But if you swim sideways, you'll be out of them.
Yeah, swim parallel to the shore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why I say sideways. Sure, parallel to the shore, and you'll be out in no time. If for some reason you can't, I mean, rarely are they wide, but if for some reason you can't, then just float. Let it take you out, because eventually the current will even out, and then you can swim parallel to the shore and get back there.
Yep. Yeah, because I was born in 86, and the Cosby Show debuted in 84.
Right.
And it dominated Thursday night along with Cheers, Night Court, and Family Ties, and it was original must-see TV.
Yep, absolutely. No, this was huge. And, eight seasons, and most of the cast was there for all eight seasons.
Yeah, because Theo, he was there for the entire time.
Yep.
Along with Felicia Rashad and Keisha Knight Pulliam and
Tempest Bledsoe.
At least, yeah, yep. That the troublemaker family.
yeah, Vanessa. Yeah, absolutely. So
yeah, and then Lisa, she left and did A Different World and came back.
Right, and Sabrina LaBeouf joined after a year or so, and there were
because you remember like back in '88 when it hit off network syndication. Yeah, and because it was one of the most expensive things that a TV station can buy in syndication, along with Who's the Boss, because they was very expensive in syndication because of the family sitcom Johnny Dead after Happy Days.
Well, there you
and
have
I remember
it.
I remember my local station, WYFF, carried it at first, and it was a flop, and then they dropped it in 1993, and WSPA TV7 carried it for the rest of the run until like 2001, and it moved to Fox Carolina from 2004 to.
What's sad is it's no longer in general syndication, and that's due to Bill Cosby's troubles, and that's very unfortunate. You can see it on Amazon Prime or on TV1, but it's no longer available the way it was.
Yeah, because I got the DVDs of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you absolutely could, and it was just a very, very sad story all the way around. So there you have it.
Because I remember Kate and Allie was paired with Cosby Show on Channel 4 when it was syndicated, and Roseanne too. Because they aired Roseanne at 4:00, Cosby Show at 4:30, Oprah Winfrey at 5:00.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, and I always say that he was a great guy, and he did other projects like Here and Now, which ended after the Cosby Show was
over. There are so many stories, and it's not really appropriate for this show, but it isn't lost on me that his own philosophies and what he was espousing, education and excellence and all that, rubbed some factions the wrong way. I mean, I always say Manny Gord's someone's favorite ox. And there it is. So it ain't coming back. That's at least not in general market syndication.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a real shame for the other people who were on it, of course, because it's a great income loss to them.
Yeah, because look at Roseanne, because she said something like
Right, but that's a little different. I mean, this was bigger than that. But regardless, sure, you betcha that's why they have moral turpitude clauses in contracts and things like that, because, it's not that the network wants to be your mommy or your daddy, but they understand exactly how much it can hurt their product.
Yeah, so, and you know, Roseanne and Cosby is made by the same people, Carsey Werner.
Oh, yeah, and that's neither here nor there in terms of what happened. you know.
They don't air Dukes of Hazzard no more because of the Confederate flag controversy.
Well, yeah, on and on it goes. And, you know, I guess that's truly, you know, what a democracy is about. I always say America's not a democracy. We are a republic, and I stand by that. But what I will say is when it comes to voting with your dollars, things like entertainment, if people want to shun you, well, then it's not going to work, you know, period. And there might have been people who wanted to see that show, but usually what happens, it isn't that you've lost the audience, it's that you've lost the advertisers.
Yeah, because of the boycott.
Yeah, that, you know, I mean, it's like years and years ago when Howard Stern was first in syndication, the reality is you had things like the agency for McDonald's wouldn't buy any station that ran Howard Stern. Not only that, they wouldn't buy any of their sister stations. Like if you were an AM/FM station in a market and Howard was on your FM, they wouldn't buy the AM either. It was just an absolute ban that they had. And people did that, of course, for others, for Rush Limbaugh and things like that as well. But whenever you're going to have an element of controversy, you better realize that you're going to pay for it in terms of ad dollar loss.
Yeah, because, you know, I think Howard Stern, because he was with the freedom of speech, and he sued the FCC for some sort of $1 million and won it.
I'm not aware of that, but I'm not saying it didn't happen. So
yeah, that's what you call shock jocks.
Yeah, I didn't know he sued the FCC, and I don't know how you could. He certainly clashed with the FCC. I don't think he ever initiated any lawsuits, as far as that goes. So, you know, and in fact, some stations that carried him got some fines from the FCC, but they smartly, in the case of some individual stations, realized that was the cost of doing business. And the FCC upheld them, but I don't know of Howard actually trying to litigate that.
Yeah, the Howard Stern was so controversial in the 90s. You know, he had his own TV show that was in syndication.
Yeah, but like I say, I don't think, you know, and there were all sorts of threats for airing the show and all that, and record fines, and I think Clear Channel got a record fine for like $500,000 or something like that. But no, I think if you check it, you're not going to find that Howard ever filed a lawsuit.
Yeah, it was all about the dollars. If you like it. Like your show ain't syndicated, it's just exclusive to WGN.
Well, and there's nothing we do that's actionable. If we do, I don't know it. But, you know, as far as I know, we're just here to have a good time. We don't even broach topics that are controversial. So,
and one more thing. You know, remember Brother Stair, right? The preacher.
Oh, yes, of course.
And look, all the controversial he's had over the years, they still air his show like nothing.
Well, they get paid to. You know,
he done probably worse than Bill Cosby did,
yeah,
and Howard Stern.
But remember, the religious broadcasters, they're going to pay you to carry those shows because they're making money from it. You know, they're you know, obviously, and of course, Brother Stair's dead. He's been dead about 4 or 5 years now, but. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if someone's still paying. There was, I forget the guy on WRVA in Richmond, but they ran it at like 5 a.m. This guy was a preacher. He'd been dead about 20 years. His family kept paying for it because the donations kept coming in. And,
And you know, the same WCKY in Cincinnati, 5:30.
Yeah. Right.
They aired Brother Stair as well, like at 4 a.m.
Right.
It was a sports. They didn't air it for years.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. CKY Overnight was pretty amazing from time to time. Like I've often said, my favorite thing on CKY was when, I forget who the host was, but they were selling tombstones. Don't let your mother lay out in the cold another night without a proper marker. That was hilarious.
You know, Brother Stair, it's late at late night on these radio stations, but not during the daytime.
Right, because he couldn't afford to pay for it during the daytime. See, again, they're buying the time. I mean, but, you know, they were buying the time anywhere. It didn't matter. And especially if they had a signal. If it, you know, they loved those big signal sticks, and as evidenced by all the people who buy Radio Bonaire in the Lesser Antilles. So, yeah, of course, but they're going to do it in the middle of the night because, like I say, they're not going to be able to afford to do it an afternoon drive.
and a lot of people are asleep at that time when Brother Sterling,
well,
like, if you wake up, Ray, and hear all that screaming.
Yeah, right. You know. And obviously they weren't doing it because they wanted people to be asleep. It was when they could afford it. So, yeah, but Brother Stare is not that old, because he formed that ministry, like, in the 70s. And so yeah. it's not that. The Overcomer Ministry is what they always called it. And
there is out of Walmart, and he had a lot of followers, too, and
yeah.
some regretted to follow him.
Well, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, colorful, to say the least.
Stories about it.
Yeah, like I
looked at some stories about it. He had a camp in Walterboro, which is in my state.
Right, absolutely, at a compound. You betcha he did. He declared himself a prophet. And
yeah, he told everybody that followed him to let their families go and let everything go.
Well, right. But not only was he convicted for sexual abuse, but there were all those allegations about causing infant deaths and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, he was from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, originally, and came up with Overcomer Ministry. And it was he bought a motel in Walterboro. You probably know that. And that's where he encouraged all the followers to move to the motel, sell all the possessions, take a vow of poverty, donate all they own to him.
Yeah, and don't shop, don't go out to the restaurant for nothing.
Right,
just
absolutely. Have to grow your own food and make your own clothes. And so the community members lived in mobile homes and handmade houses. All right. Communal meals.
Yeah,
right.
he loved to hug women. You talk about Richard Dawson kissing people on Fountain View. He liked to hug people.
Yeah, it was. And, of course, you know, God forbid you're sick, because he was not willing to let you go to a doctor.
Yeah, I remember that, because he don't like going to doctors, because he showed him one of his fingers that burnt. He said, I don't go to doctors. I don't believe in doctors.
Right, and three infants died in the compound. Yeah.
Yeah, what you say?
Yeah, no, it was interesting. He at his height, which it probably would have been like the early to mid-90s, he was on like 120 stations, and I think, you know, that turned into more like...
WGN.
No. Oh, no. WGN would never sell that time. Oh, no. Don't even think it. No, 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 no. Trust me.
I know them big.
Right. No, yeah. I'm sure he would have loved to have bought the time, but WGN would have never sold it to him.
Not in a million years.
No. No, absolutely not. So, yeah. No, right. No. It was...
WBC wouldn't probably air it in New York. The big radio stations, like...
He couldn't afford those signals. He wasn't going to places like New York or Los Angeles, because that would have been too expensive. He was going to places that had the signals that were smaller markets. You know, like Roswell, New Mexico, the 1020 there. So, yeah.
You think WCRS 1450 probably aired it here in Greenwood?
I have no idea. But there'd be no reason to buy it, because 1450 in Greenwood, you're not covering many people. It's not attractive. Again, the preachers are buying signals. They want to see that coverage map. So they don't care about someone who's on 1450. You know, so that's the deal.
And AM, you got to power down at night.
No, well, some, but not all. Again, you have a lot of 50,000-watt stations that are 50,000 day and night. So, no, not all. And, so they buy signals.
And I heard a rumor that now the front WGSW... In my hometown, 1350 had Brother Stare. I'm not sure.
Might
have.
Well,
true.
Again, I don't know why he would have wanted to buy it, but I'm sure they would have sold it to him. All right.
Yeah, because.
Well, you're ending the hour almost. So I will talk to you soon. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
Okay.
All right. Yes, I can't blow all the breaks. You know, I've got to do one on time. So here we go on WGN Radio.
Oh, baby, you're a nag.
Nag, naggity, nag.
You're a nag. Shop and buy me a roast.
When is your nagging ever gonna stop?
You're
don't talk back.
When I married you, you were so sweet. Now you give me the bread and you take all the meat. You're always screaming, hollering loud.
You buy me a ticket to the nearest cloud. You're a man.
I don't know what to do, you make me mad.
What a man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yep, that's the Halos. They were from the Bronx. An interesting story. They actually were background singers and session musicians, and they worked a lot for Morty Craft. And Morty decided to produce a couple things on their own and did nothing. But Arthur Cryer was in that group, yeah, and Al Cleveland and J.R. Bailey, and Phil Johnson, I think, was the last. But it's interesting because they did background sessions on records you'd know. And Phil Spector loved them. So he is the one who, in fact, produced Nag. Their first single, they were not the Halos. They were the Crafties, as in Morty Craft. Yeah, and it did enough. L-O-V-E. In any event, you can find it if you look for it. But it was the Halos that Spector did that was got to number 25 actually, and but they did backup for him. In fact, they were on Pretty Little Angel Eyes by Curtis Lee and Every Breath I Take by Gene Pitney, and they did a lot of backup on a lot of things. They were on Barry Mann's Who Put the Bomb in the Bomb Bomb Bomb. Yeah, so so that, and Arthur Cryer, who I thought was just terrific. His son Sabu was a member of GQ, one of my favorite 70s soul groups, and his grandson is Keith Sweat, so some royalty there. And that was Jan in Dallas, who wanted to hear the Halos. Nag, yeah, the Crafties. All right, well, can't have everything. All right, Fran and Austin's got some requests. What you want to hear, Fran?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't check the time before I called, but anyway.
That's fine. We're here.
I think it's called Mansion of Love. Chip, chip, a chipping away, chipping
oh,
at your
oh,
mansion
oh,
of love.
It's actually called Chip, Chip. That's Gene McDaniels. That's one of my.
Oh,
that's
okay.
One of my
favorite.
Yeah, one of my favorite
I like
songs.
That one.
And that the chip in Chip, Chip is actually the water pipe in the studio.
I was wondering what that was.
Yeah, that's
it
the water. That's
like
the water
that.
Pipe. Yeah, that was it. And yeah, so I thought. Well, of course, you know that's a Snuff Garrett production, so you know I love it. But yeah, Gene McDaniels. I'll play that tomorrow night. I love that song.
Okay, and Needle in a Haystack.
Of course. Okay.
And Anything You Want to Play by Brenda Holloway.
Oh, okay. All right.
I always like to hear what you choose. So.
You know, I usually go to You Changed Me. That tends to be my favorite, Brenda Holloway.
Oh, I love that one. You
yeah.
played it for me when
yeah.
I've requested her before.
Right.
So,
yeah,
yeah,
I love that. So, but
anything.
So many good things by her. Yeah, and that's Los Angeles' contribution to Motown. You betcha.
All right. Yeah,
all
I
right.
just love her.
Me too. I agree.
So.
All right. Good deal. Well, you're sounding good.
Okay.
So it's either a good act or you're feeling okay. Yeah, no, I understand.
Well, I get to find out tomorrow what the results of some of these tests are, and I'm having a lot of pain in my legs and some other issues, but we'll go into that another time or I'll email or something.
Well, I will keep my fingers crossed for a great report. And, you know, there is a new moon on Thursday on the 24th, so write your prosperity check for health.
Oh, you know, I always forget to do that. I need to try that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it can't hurt.
No, it as far as I know, it can't. Though I do have one girlfriend who swears that every time she does it, bad things happen. So she's stopped. But she's the only person I know who, you know, was obviously born under a 3-inch planet named Fringus. But the rest of us, the rest of us can do this. All right.
Oh, we'll try it. I've had enough bad luck lately. I need things to turn around.
Yeah, good deal. Well, I'm counting on it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
All right. Oh, gosh, I see Naoto has called. Naoto, I'm so sorry. We've got 30 seconds left. So what I need you to do, we're going to talk, tech. All right, tech design. All right, well, we got to do that tomorrow night, I'm afraid, because Bob is the taskmaster who keeps us in line. He actually listens to the show and knows when I'm supposed to break, and occasionally I do it, and this will be one of those times. So we thank him for keeping me in line and for getting us on the air, and we thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. That's what makes the show easy to do, and you know I like easy. So until tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, that's about it. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.